Welcome to The Notion of You. I'm Tashi Jones, storyteller, guide, and your gentle reminder to slow down and come home to yourself. Before we do anything else, take a pause. Not the pause where you hold your breath and brace, but the kind where your body realizes that it doesn't have to be on high alert for the next little bit. Wherever you are right now, just let yourself settle. Maybe you're folding laundry, or sitting in the car, or taking a walk with one earbud in while your mind is still juggling 1,000 unfinished thoughts. Take a breath, not a big dramatic one, but notice the one you're already taking. Let your shoulders drop, unclench your jaw, let your belly soften. You are safe here. This episode is for the woman with 37 pro and con lists, the one who has researched every angle, listened to every podcast, asked everyone you trust, and you still can't decide. The one who feels like if you just think a little bit harder, plan a little better, you'll finally be ready to move. Just seeing that sends a shiver down my spine, because I know her well. I've been her. There was a season in my life where everything looked organized on the outside, but I felt completely frozen on the inside. Endless planning, endless thinking, so much mental activity, but so little actually living. I told myself I was being responsible, thoughtful, strategic, but really, this was fear being dressed up as productivity. There's a quote that stopped me in my tracks when I read it the first time. It's from Elizabeth Gilbert. She said, "You are afraid of surrender because you don't want to lose control. But you never had control. All you had was anxiety." That landed hard for me, in my body, like truth does. It was quiet, undeniable. Overthinking doesn't feel like fear. It feels like safety, like preparation, like control. But if you're honest with yourself, it's exhausting, and it keeps you circling the same questions instead of letting your life actually move. We're not here to fix you today because you're not broken. We're here to get you to slow down enough to notice what your body already knows. I want you to treat this podcast like two friends going for a walk or grabbing coffee. There's no pressure. There's no performance, just presence. Let yourself be here, fully, one breath at a time. For most of my life, everything in me wanted clarity before movement. I told myself I was being wise, that I was honoring timing, that I just needed one more piece of information before I could move forward. But in reality, I was stalled. I was stuck. I remember sitting at my desk one afternoon with my notebook open. My coffee had gone cold. Staring at a page filled with doodles, half sentences, options. Do this now. Wait till you get this. Change this. Scrap the whole thing. Start with something else. Go bigger. Go smaller. All different paths mapped out, but none of them taken. My body felt tight. My jaw was clenched. My chest was buzzing. That familiar restless energy that we pretend is motivation, but it's actually anxiety asking for a certainty that we'll never get. I kept telling myself, I'll decide tomorrow, or when things get clearer, or when I feel calmer, or when I trust myself. But that tomorrow never came. It kept moving, and my life stayed the same. The turning point didn't come through from a breakthrough moment or some dramatic realization. It came from noticing how disconnected I felt from my body. I was living almost entirely in my head, thinking my way through decisions that needed to be lived. One day, I caught myself saying out loud, I just need to plan this a little bit more. But something pushed back in me, quiet, firmly. It was a no, you don't. What you need to do is feel. I remember getting out of my chair, putting my feet on the floor, realizing that I had no idea what I actually wanted in that moment. Not what made sense, not what looked good on paper, but what felt true. My body was tired, heavy, done with this circling and indecision. And that's when it clicked. Planning, as much as I love it, had become a way to avoid being seen, to avoid making a mistake, to avoid choosing and letting the choice shape me. Because once you act, something changes anymore. You can't hide behind potential. You have data. You have feedback. You have a real experience instead of a hypothetical one. And that can be terrifying. Overthinking had given me the illusion of control. As long as I stayed in my head, nothing could go wrong. But nothing would go right either. So I made a small decision. Not life-altering, just one imperfect step I had been avoiding. I named the thing, and I let it be unfinished. And here's where that surprise comes in. My nervous system didn't collapse. The world didn't end. And suddenly, I didn't regret it. Instead, what I felt was relief. Not because it was perfect, but because I had finally moved. The part we don't talk about enough is that action settles in the body in a way that thinking never can. Even messy action, especially messy action. Because your body learns through experience, not theory. That moment didn't fix my tendencies to overthink. That's definitely still there. But it changed my relationship with it. It showed me that I didn't need certainty to move. I just needed willingness. A willingness to feel the discomfort, to be imperfect, to live my life instead of plan it endlessly from the sidelines. And that's where self-trust begins. Not in knowing the right answer, but in choosing, acting, letting yourself be changed by what happens next. Just take a pause and notice what came up in your body when I said that. No fixing, no judging, just notice. Overanalysis doesn't usually announce itself as fear. It shows up as responsibility, being thoughtful, wanting to make the right decision. It sounds like, I just need to think through this a little bit more. I don't want to mess this up. I'll do it when I feel clearer. And on the surface, it seems really reasonable. But if you look closer, overanalysis is a nervous system strategy. It's a way of staying in your head so you don't have to be in your body. Because your body is where that uncertainty lives. It's where the sensations live. Your body is where there's no guarantee. Thinking feels safer because it creates that distance. When you're thinking, you're not risking. When you're planning, you're not choosing. When you're analyzing, you're not acting. And as long as you're not acting, you don't have to face the possibility of being wrong, disappointed, judged, or changed. And this is where that illusion of control sneaks in. Overthinking gives you the feeling that you've just considered every angle. You can avoid the pain. That if you plan well enough, nothing will go off the rails. That if you wait until you're fully ready, you won't have to feel that discomfort of learning as you go. But your body knows the truth. That tight chest, the buzzing under your skin, that sense of being stuck but busy. It's not clarity. It's freeze. Freezing is what happens when your system is overwhelmed and doesn't feel safe enough to fight or flee. So it pauses, it spins, it loops, it stays vigilant. And culturally, we reward this. We praise women who think through things, who are careful, who don't act impulsively, who keeps herself in check. But there's a cost. Because while you are trying to control your outcome, you're disconnecting from the part of you that actually knows how to live. Self-trust doesn't come from thinking harder. It comes from experiencing yourself making choices and surviving them. That shift changes everything. Because I used to believe that confidence and trust came first, and that action would follow. That one day I would wake up feeling like enough, feeling certain, and then I would move. But it's backwards. Action is what builds trust. This isn't reckless action, not bring your life down, but small, embodied, imperfect action. The kind that gives your nervous system evidence that you can choose, that you can adapt. Evidence that you don't fall apart when things don't go as planned. Your body learns through doing, not through thinking. And this is why I stopped trying to think my way out of overthinking and started working with my body instead. So here's a simple framework that I come back to again and again. Feel, choose, act. Not think, spin, freeze, but feel, choose, act. Feeling comes first because your body is already responding to your life, whether you are ready to acknowledge it or not. And when you slow down enough to feel, you can interrupt that loop. Feeling might look like noticing that your stomach drops when you consider one of your options. Or that your shoulders relax when you think about another. Or that you feel heavier and heavier the longer you delay making your decision. This isn't about intuition being loud and dramatic. It's subtle. It's a sensation. It's a tone. It's energy. Choosing comes next, not because you're certain, but because you're willing. Choosing is an act of self-responsibility. It's saying, I don't know how this will turn out, but I'm willing to move anyway. the hardest part for me in this was realizing that choosing doesn't mean you're locked in forever. It means you're stepping out of the hallway of endless possibilities and into one room. And then comes acting. Action doesn't have to be big. In fact, a small one will be better for your nervous system. An action could be sending the email, making the appointment, naming the thing, blocking out time, saying no, saying yes, or taking the first visible step. Action gives your system something real to respond to. Because when you don't act, your nervous system stays with an imagined threat. With the action, even imperfectly, your body gets feedback. It learns what it can survive, and it can recalibrate for you. This is why good enough decisions are so powerful. Good enough isn't about lowering your standards. It's about acknowledging that no amount of thinking will give you that certainty that you're craving. Certainty is a fantasy that your anxious mind sells you. But good enough says, this choice moves me forward. This step gives me information. This is sufficient for now. One of the most regulating things that I adopted is time boxing decisions. I decide in advance how much time I'm allowed to think about something. Not because the decision isn't important, but because of my tendency to overthink, it doesn't improve the outcome. Sometimes it could be an hour, it might be a day, but rarely do I let it go for more than a week. I set a timer. I gather what I need, and I really feel into my body. And then, when the time's up, I choose, and then I act. This feels terrifying at first, because your mind screams, what if you're wrong? What if you regret it? What if there's a better option we haven't thought about yet? But something else will start to happen too. Your body will begin to trust you. Because you show yourself that you aren't abandoning yourself to indecision anymore. That you choose and stay present. That you choose to respond to what unfolds instead of trying to prevent every possible outcome. Another tool I lean on is asking a different type of question. Instead of what's the right decision, try what's the next livable step. Framing it as the right decision assumes there's a single correct path and that choosing wrong will ruin everything. And that's a lot of pressure for your nervous system. But when you reframe it as the next livable step, you're back in the present and you're acknowledging that life unfolds in increments, not leaps. Livable means your body doesn't shut down at the thought of it. It means you can imagine yourself doing it without disassociating or spiraling. Sometimes that next livable step may be laughably small, but that's not failure. That's wisdom. Because that momentum doesn't come from force. It comes from safety. Your nervous system has to feel safe enough to move. And your safety doesn't come from perfection. It comes from familiarity, repetition, from proving to yourself that you can act and remain connected. This is the freedom in messy, embodied living. Messy living says, I don't need to have it all figured out to participate in my life. embodied living says I trust myself to respond more than I trust myself to predict. Planning has a place, believe me. Thinking has a place. But when it becomes a substitute for living, something vital gets lost. You start relating to your life as a problem to solve instead of an experience to inhabit. And that's where joy goes silent. I've noticed that the more I allow myself to act before I feel ready, the more present I become, the more engaged, the more alive. Not because it's comfortable, but because it's real. Your nervous system doesn't need you to get it right. It needs you to stay. Stay here with the discomfort. Stay with the uncertainty. Stay with yourself when things don't go according to plan. That builds your self-trust. It's not flawless execution. It's not perfect clarity. But repeated experiences of choosing, acting, and realizing that you can handle what comes next. Overanalysis keeps you in this imagined future. But living brings you back into your body. And your body is where life is actually happening. If you've been stuck in constant planning, if you feel like you're circling the same decision without movement, I want you to know it isn't a personal flaw. It's a learned survival strategy, and your strategies can be updated. You don't have to rip them out. You just have to stop letting them run the show. You're allowed to choose before you feel certain. You're allowed to act while feeling afraid. You're allowed to learn by doing. It's not recklessness. It's maturity. That's you stepping back into relationship with yourself. And that relationship doesn't grow in your head. It grows with motion. It grows when you choose, feel, and act again and again. Let's slow this down, because insight without action becomes just another thing to think about. So let's make this embodied. Right now, bring to mind one decision you've been stuck on. Not all of them, just one. The one that keeps recircling, keeps coming back. The one you revisit in your head while you're brushing your teeth or lying in bed at night. The one you've told yourself you're tired of thinking about. Notice what happens in your body as you name it. Do you feel tightness, heaviness, restlessness, a low hum of urgency? That sensation you feel matters more than the pros and cons list. Now, instead of asking yourself what the right decision is, let's start with something gentler. If I trusted myself, what is the smallest action I would take this week? Not a final step, not the perfect move, just the small action that creates motion. Now let your body answer before your mind jumps in. You might feel a subtle pull, a soft yes, or less resistance towards one option. And that's enough. Put a container around it. This part is important for your nervous system. Give that action a time limit. Decide when you're going to do it. Not a someday thing, not when you feel ready, but pick a specific time window that feels doable. 10 minutes, maybe one email, one conversation, one calendar block. And then when that time comes, do it. Only that. Not because it guarantees an outcome, but because you're teaching your body that the movement is survivable. because choosing doesn't equal catastrophe, that you don't have to stay frozen to stay safe. And after you've taken that action, pause. Put a hand on your belly or your chest. Take a breath and notice what's different, even if it's really subtle. Let that noticing become part of the practice, because that's how you find evidence that self-trust is rebuilt. Not through big declarations, but small, completed actions. Choose one thing. Take one step. Let that be enough for today. Before we part, I want to leave you with this truth, because it's one I return to again and again when my mind starts trying to take over. Action is where self-trust goes. Not confidence, not certainty, not having the whole map laid out, but action. And every time you choose something and stay with yourself through it, you send your nervous system a message that I can move and remain connected. I can decide and adapt. I don't have to disappear into my head to stay safe. And that matters, because so many of us were taught, whether subtly or directly, that living comes after we get it right, after we think through it, after we calm down, after we prove ourselves worthy of the next step. But life doesn't wait for perfect conditions. It responds to movement, messy, imperfect, embodied movement. If all you did this week was take one small action you've been avoiding, that counts. If all you did was notice how your body reacted to choosing instead of spinning, that counts too. This isn't about fixing overthinking forever. It's about loosening its grip, letting it be one voice instead of the authority. If you feel called, I'd love to hear what you choose. Send me a message, tag your action, share your win, even if it feels small, especially if it feels small. Because those small moments of movement are where something will shift for you. They're where you stop planning your life and start inhabiting it. Next time, we'll be exploring the identity shift that comes with motherhood, the quiet ways we lose ourselves and find ourselves again in that season. For now, stay here for a moment. Take one more breath. Let your body feel the fact that you showed up today. And remember, you don't need to overanalyze your way into a life you trust. You can live your way there.